Mark 14 tonight, so we're going to be going over a couple things. Remember last week, we started an informal three-part series. Last week we looked at complaining on Sunday nights. Are we to complain? We talked about murmuring. And murmuring has the idea, we can complain outright, but murmuring is a form of complaining where, as we looked at with Israel, they would murmur in their tents. They were discontented with something, and they would begin to complain about God, complain about Moses, complain about Aaron, complain about whatever the situation was, and they would murmur in their tents. And we hear and we saw that God heard it. We see that Aaron and Miriam had murmured against Moses and complained. And the Bible says God heard it. Over and over again it is communicated that God hears when we complain. And God is not pleased when we complain. And something else that we're going to look at tonight in Mark 14, we're going to see the account of when Mary brought the precious ointment, the spikenard, and anointed the Lord's feet and washed his feet with her hair before his crucifixion. 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before the crucifixion, of course, the resurrection. So this is leading up to this, but we know that in this account, there are some people who did not like or appreciate what she did. And actually, to the fact that they were critical of it. Now, have you ever had one of those bosses, a teacher, or maybe a parent or a spouse, that no matter how hard you tried, they always had something negative to say about what you did? Never run across people like that? You did a great job, but there was this, right? And that can really hurt somebody, and that can really be a problem. Even if you've done your very, very best, there's still something they were critical of. Many times that's well-intentioned to help us out. Therefore, there seems to be a problem with those who simply cannot see the good in any situation or anyone for that matter. I'm not talking about necessarily those examples, but have you ever met somebody? I mean, everything's negative. There's nothing good about anyone. There's nothing good about anything. Everything's negative, critical, and many times it's like, well, I could do it better than that. In our passage, we see one of the most beautiful examples of sacrifice in all the New Testament. But at that moment, there were those who thought it was the most wasteful and foolish gesture possible. But let's find out why those people simply missed the boat of God's blessing that day. In a message entitled, Missing the Boat. Let's stand again, if we could, Mark 14, beginning in verse number 3. Mark 14. In verse number 3, reading down through verse number 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, as they murmured. Here's that word murmuring again. Murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever, now this is an interesting promise, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So we see the context of the situation going on here. This is also given in John 13. We find out that they were in Lazarus' house, and Mary and Martha were there. Martha was serving, and Mary was the one who gave the spikenard and washed his feet with her hair. There was another woman that did the same thing, who said the woman was a sinner on a separate occasion. But these are synoptic, and we see that there was a great picture, a beautiful picture here. But there were some that missed it. Let's find out why tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing this evening. I pray that you would guide us in your word. Give me the words to say tonight. Oh, Lord, we are tempted to be critical. We're tempted to complain. We're tempted to be negative. Pray tonight that you would show us, Lord, if that maybe resides in our hearts. It resides in all of our hearts, Lord. But we must make a choice to give you praise and give you glory. I pray your blessing tonight. Give me wisdom and praise to be with the time of gathering around your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this evening. Missing the boat, Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Now, we see in this passage that there was a seemingly precious gesture. A gesture of taking spikenard. Spikenard is from India. It's a very precious, very expensive, that this was worth a ton of money. It was usually reserved for a special occasion, sometimes a marriage, or even to anoint the body of one they were burying, so that this was something that was many times an inheritance or a dowry for a woman. It was extremely, extremely precious. But we look at this, and we would think that someone who is doing that, Jesus is among friends here. Jesus is there, and his crucifixion is coming. This is after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We see that the Passover is prepared. Okay, so we see that this was 6 days before, and then we see in chapter 14, we see another instance of this happening. Not the same instance. 2 days before, we see the Passover prepared, Jesus, the Last Supper, which we're going to be observing tonight. So all of this is the context at the end of Jesus' ministry. And we look at this account and we see something so important and so precious, and we see people that just simply miss it. Acts chapter 14 is the situation that we're talking about here. So number one, what was wrong with these people? We see in John 13 that Judas Iscariot was the one upset. He was one, there were others murmuring, but he was upset that he wanted it sold and given to the poor. Why wasn't it done for that reason? Well, one of the reasons why people are critical, and one of the reasons why perhaps some of these people were critical, verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. So they weren't saying this outwardly yet, but they were upset. Indignation. They were angry. Why? Well, number one of the main things, it wasn't their idea, perhaps. We can become critical and have critical words and critical thinking, and that perhaps the greatest motivator of the situation of Judas and others that murmured was simply that of envy. They claimed that it was a waste. For verse 4, within themselves, they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It was using it for a purpose that it wasn't perhaps intended for, but this was given as a sacrifice to the Lord, as a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're seeing that and said, this is a waste. Why in the world is he doing this? And those that have a critical mindset see the actions of others and are simply critical of them because they didn't think of it first. I ever run into that at work? Where you have an idea, it's like, well, their idea wouldn't work, and you see that person pitching it to the boss, the same exact idea, the next week. Right? They were critical of it this week, but it's their idea next week. That's envy. And Solomon expressed this in Ecclesiastes 4:4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That's frustrating that you're doing something good, you're travailing, you're working, and you see the fruit of your labor, and your neighbor is what? Envious because of what you're doing. That can be a motivation for being critical and thinking negative things about someone. Even though, and by the way, this can also be a root of bitterness that can come up in someone's life. In that, well, I should have been the one to do that. Nothing more than being rooted in pride. That's one of the reasons that we can be critical. This was a beautiful picture of honoring Christ and what he meant to Mary. We should not envy the gifts of another person or be critical of it or giving. Whether it be, this wasn't their idea to give this in this way. We got to be careful not to be critical of ideas simply because someone else thought of them and we did not. We need to be careful. Be careful that we can become destructive with our words and with our thinking. Another reason that people can have this indignation is that, number two, it wasn't their gift. Along with envy, that it was not their idea, that they also can be critical of the gift. They can look at the preciousness of that gift. Remember, this was expensive, worth, in our day and age, for $20,000 around that. This was a very precious ointment. This was an extremely big gift. This was a big offering. And when someone sacrifices much to sacrifice to the Lord, either to give to the church or to give for the Lord's work, or perhaps even giving of one's life over to the service of the Lord, and that you are have a calling of God upon your life, and then there are some that say, well, you know, yeah, I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it to be seen of men. They're not doing it for the Lord. Oh, there can be people that are critical. But the real reason why is because they have not surrendered their life to God. It wasn't their idea and it wasn't their gift. They weren't able to give it. So because they weren't able to sacrifice in that way, or they had been unwilling to, and simply the gift had shown up their heart condition, then we had decided to be critical. Malachi 1, verses 12 and 13 say, but ye have profaned it, and in that ye said, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, to what? The offering. And thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Well, we know the answer, no. That simply in your heart you are convicted because of the sacrifice of somebody else, and you can begin to wag your tongue and have that critical spirit and miss the boat of God's blessing. It's a simple fact that there are perhaps some there that they weren't the one in the spotlight. They weren't the one giving. Mary wasn't doing this to be seen of people. She was doing this to give to the Lord. It's not pure and simple. That they were not the one who was recognized by the Lord. But what a terrible way to live, though. To think of that, to be envious and to be so full of negativity, and well, I'm sure they did it for a wrong reason. We need to be careful. Instead of praising God for the offering, they are critical of it. Instead of praising God, praise God that she did that for him instead. Well, yeah, I'm sure she had a selfish motivation for that. See, she's always doing that. You know, she's always being close to Jesus. And well, what's her agenda? What's her problem? You know, I mean, normal people don't do things like that. Need to be careful. Critical way of thinking can get into any of our hearts. Then number three, it wasn't their will. We look at verse number five and verse five, for it had been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. The classic line, I would not have done it that way. I would have done it that way. I don't know why pastor is doing it that way. I don't know why my wife is doing it that way. I don't know why my child is doing it that way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. They thought their way of using this gift was better. That it was better fit for the poor to be sold and to give to the poor. That it should have been used for better purposes than what it was being used for. That it was too good. What they're saying, it's too good for the Savior. It's not a wise use of God's resources. Need to use it in a better way. John 12 is the synoptic here, verses 5 through 6. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This is what Judas Iscariot said. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So Judas said that. It should have been sold for 300 pence. He was upset. There were others that murmured against her, that joined in, that were thinking the same thing. What was it? He disguised his simple heart with something appearing to be noble. Well, Lord, this should have been better sold 300 pence and given to the poor. Why did he really want that 300 pence? So he could cover his sin of theft. He had stolen it. And we can be critical of others to cover our own sin and our own failure. However, we see the rebuke of Jesus. Let's look at what Jesus said. And Jesus said something that will live on for all of eternity. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is coming aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now this is a promise. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Praise the Lord. Recorded in Scripture for an eternal memorial of what Mary had done. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we don't even recognize that or notice that. But where I said, wherever the gospel is preached, this is going to be remembered. This day, this moment. Jesus rebuked them and said, you have missed the boat of God's blessing. So how do we escape being critical? Amen. How do we escape being critical? Well, we need to look beyond ourselves. They look beyond yourself. When we envy someone else, we're only looking to ourselves. We're only looking at, well, I deserve to have that. Or I deserve to give that. I wish I had done that. I wish I was getting the recognition. I wish. No, you need to look beyond yourself. To look beyond your will. To look beyond and see Christ. Praise Christ for everything. We ought to be thankful for everything. Amen. Give God the glory for everything. And give God the glory even for those people who maybe aren't perfect, because guess what? There is someone somewhere that's giving praise for you even though you're not perfect. Amen. We can get into the idea of, even though we don't believe in Christian perfection, sinless perfection, we expect people to be sinless imperfect. Right? And if they're not, we must point out every flaw. We must point out every single flaw so that they may grow. Okay. There's a difference between helping someone grow and just being critical. There is a difference. Every single flaw, especially because criticality is based in your personal opinion and not based in the Word of God. If someone is having struggles in their life, especially something biblical, we can be an encouragement to them. And you know what? There's a difference between being encouraging and being critical. Like, well, you know, pastor or so-and-so or whoever. Well, you know what? I just don't think that'll work that way. I don't think it'll work. Or I don't think you're doing that right. We can do this with our children. We can do this with our spouses. We can do this with our employees. We can do this with our bosses. We can do this with anybody. Praise Christ for everything. They missed the boat because Jesus said that her gift will be spoken of wherever the gospel is preached. It's a picture of the surrendered life. Giving your all to Jesus. My all is on the altar of sacrifice laid. This is all that she had. This is all, the one precious thing, the most precious thing in her possession. She gave it all. This is the equivalent of emptying out your bank account and giving it in the offering plate. Out your life savings, your retirement, everything, selling your house, because you lived in her brother's house, selling your house, selling your car, giving every single bit of money you have, anything of worth, all of your jewelry, and giving it to in the offering place. I'm giving it to you, Lord. That's how valuable this was. And people were shocked. People were critical. How do we avoid being like that? Those who have not surrendered will not understand total surrender and sacrifice. Never forget, my aunt was the daughter of a millionaire. And later in life, when her father had passed away and she worked in the airline industry, but she had plenty of money. She had inherited millions of dollars from her father when he passed away. And was just, lived a very, had nice cars and nice things. Very nice lady, but just, was not saved. Lived for the things of this world. And I'll never forget when I was a teenager, about 16 years old, I had the desire to be a missionary pilot. And I loved aviation. I still love aviation. But I desired so much, very much to be that and to do that with my life and to make my life count for something. That was my thought process. Wasn't necessarily do it because God called me, but because I want my life to mean something besides just dollars and cents. And so told my aunt that she was visiting us, and she just said this to me. Why in the world would you waste your life flying in the back jungle somewhere for a bunch of people who will never be able to pay you a cent for it? Why? Why would you waste your talent and waste your life? Even though I wasn't saved, I knew this much. So, nothing given to God is wasted. And you know what? When we give to God and we tithe or we sacrifice our time for God, there's going to be people that don't understand. There's going to be people that are going to criticize you. There's going to be people that say negative things. And by the way, it should never be someone in the house of God. There's no place for another Christian to be critical of another. Psalm 112, verse 6 through 9. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. So don't get discouraged when someone's critical of you. Don't, especially when the lost world who doesn't understand they're critical of you, don't be discouraged by that. Look at the blessings instead of the problems. To be honest, life, it's all a matter of perspective. How do we view the issues of life? So, well, you know, it's part of who I am. I can't help it. I'm a critical person. You know, have you ever had this happen to you? That you're on the job and maybe you've accomplished a project and your boss comes to you and says, you know what, you did a great job, except that you need to fix this next time. Right? You just went up to the place of praise and then, boom, came down, right? You know, that's an oxymoron. Well, what's an oxymoron? An oxymoron is a statement that it's two statements put together that are contradictory the one to the other. And so when you mix criticism with praise, I can just tell you, well, the praise outweighs the criticism. It never works that way. The criticism always outweighs the praise. Because people don't remember what you praised them for. They remember, but they just didn't like anything I do. Now, at the same time, do we need to be humble and have humility and be willing to learn? Yes. But when you give praise, give some praise. Amen. And when you bring something to someone's attention, not being critical, but hey, I want to help you out. By the way, that's all in how you present it to somebody. How you talk to somebody. Like, well, you know what? Yeah, you did it. You did okay. But, oh, don't do that with your children. Don't expect your children to be perfect. They never will be. They never will be perfect. Can be very damaging to a child to say, well, you did great, but, you know, you need to fix this next time. You know, you did a wonderful job, but, you know, this could have been done a little bit better. Can I tell you something? You know what that child just, you know all they learn? I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be good enough in school. I'm never going to be good enough at sports. I'm never going to be good enough doing my chores. I'm never going to be good enough. Even though that's not what you mean to communicate, that is what you communicate. So instead, praise them for what they've done. Lift them up. Amen. Not just our children, but our spouses and our friends and our family, especially our church family, to praise God. I was encouraged by your testimony. I was encouraged by your work in the Lord. Thank you so much. You know, it means a lot to your pastor when you come and even though maybe I preached a dud, okay, that happens sometimes, and that you come, Pastor, that was such a blessing. Okay, don't lie. No. But you come and try and encourage me anyway. Even if maybe it wasn't the most organized or maybe it wasn't the best of something, that you come and say, Pastor, that was great. Thank you. It was a blessing to my heart. God uses us in spite of ourselves. Praise God for that. But that's encouragement. But don't just do it for me. Do it for others. Do it for people that you know are struggling. But don't let your Christian life be an oxymoron because of a critical and envious heart. Well, I want to present the love of Christ with my life, but you don't present love when you're constantly criticizing, nitpicking every small little thing. No one's perfect. You're not perfect. By the way, do we like it when people nitpick at us and criticize our ideas, criticize our speech, criticize our thoughts, criticize our actions, moment by moment? Do we like that? No one likes that, so don't do it to somebody else. Treat others as you want them to treat you. So as we enter into the Lord's Supper tonight, has the Lord dealt with you in this matter, being critical, being negative, God wants us to be part of the blessing, not the problem. Amen. He wants us to bless others, to edify and build up. That's what He desires for us. Can I tell you something? If you want to disciple someone, we're talking about discipleship on Wednesday nights. We're dealing with that and got an introduction to that on Wednesday. If you want to disciple somebody, oh boy, you better stow the criticism. Because there's nothing that will discourage a new Christian faster than being criticized. Oh, I'm trying to help them. Then show them, build them, pray for them. But don't criticize them. You will destroy the work of God in their life. So tonight, let's be part of the blessing, not the problem. Let's not miss the boat of God's blessing. We're going to have a brief time of invitation tonight, so let's bow our heads in prayer, have a time of invitation as well as letting the Lord examine our hearts as we prepare for the Lord's Supper tonight. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you be with this invitation tonight. Help prepare our hearts. Help us, Lord, if we have the seeds of criticism and negativity in our hearts. Lord, it's so easy to let that sneak in, to be negative. Nothing's good. Nothing's right. Nothing is a blessing. Oh, Lord, there's blessings all around. Help us to see them. Help us see people who are a blessing. Help us to see your work that is a blessing. Change our vision. Open our eyes. Help us to see. Bless, I pray, this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.